from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Are your eyes green?
They're brown.
But they're a different color. They look green today.
This guy.
His eyes are green.
Well, I've been told I do have beautiful eyes.
No, I didn't say that.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Matt Steinmetz, Darryl the Guru Johnson. We are at the Warriors team store outside Chase Center.
There's action
and
here, Steiny.
There is. The second round of the NBA draft has begun. And the Warriors, according to reports, have traded the number 52 pick for Lindy Waters III, who played for the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're going to be joined, hopefully, in the next half hour by Trace Jackson Davis, entering his second year with the Golden State Warriors. He started at the end of last year, and the latest thing we heard, Goo, from producer Evan is speculation around the league is that with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope opting out of his contract, he is now a free agent, that perhaps the Orlando Magic are willing to give a short-term two-year type of deal at approximately $50 million to either Caldwell Pope or Klay Thompson. I got to believe if I'm the Orlando Magic and you could have one of those,
right,
you'd probably take Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
He's a baller, and he's NBA champions, Donnie, so I get that. No shade at Klay, but right now I think KCP is a better ball player, all-around ball player.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and by the way, I'll open up the phone lines at 888-957-9570. Just know that we could be joined theoretically at any point by Trace Jackson Davis, but as long as he's not here, we'll take your calls at 888-957-9570. Just a few things. We had Kirk Lacob, Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations and Assistant General Manager, on earlier. I felt like he struck a kind of a somber tone with Klay Thompson. It felt like, I don't know if greasing the skids is the proper phrase, but it doesn't feel positive that he's coming back. Kirk was pretty adamant. This team is still, they still consider Steph Curry a superstar, and they're building around him. That's at least right now they're gonna build around him. And for what it's worth, Goo, he said Andrew Wiggins usually basically takes off in the summertime and does a lot of his things outside the Bay Area. He said Andrew Wiggins has been in the Bay Area much of the summer, so that's a good sign.
Let's talk about that sign, because I love the info, and Wiggins has been on my mind, Stoney, because everybody seems to have given up on him. I understand he's just an enigma, but him being in the Bay Area, what does that mean? What does that correlate to? Does that mean he's working out? Or?
Oh, yeah. That means he's coming to the facility.
But what, like I told Kirk, it's not basketball-related, Stani. And I didn't go there. I should have went, you know, said more of what I was trying to hammer home is the mentals. So him being in the Bay, will that get him mentally to where he's there on a daily basis more so than what he's been? Because I almost want to say to that, as you take it as a good sign,
well,
his logistics. I'm like, we got to get him to ride over the Bay Bridge. You know,
that ship has sailed. Come on.
And now that's why, see, so that's a bad sign to me.
Well, I mean, do I think it's important? Do I think it matters that Wiggins is in the Bay Area? Not really.
And I'm saying that, Mr. Optimistic.
But, I mean, it's not a bad sign. I mean, it can only be good.
If they could solve that code, man, and get something out of that guy consistently,
why?
It changes a lot.
I just think,
i.e. the 2022
G. Why would you think after 11 years they could crack that code when nobody else has been able to do it?
Well, I'll say they haven't struck out 11 years because he was with Minnesota, a big part of that. My point is, I mean, I'm going 2 years. Can we get that Andrew Wiggins?
What if I say no? Probably not.
Because that's the way
I was betting it.
Like, let me ask you
right
a question,
now, Stondy.
That's which way I'd.
Let me ask you this: if you were the general manager of the Golden State Warriors, heading into the next season, do you expect Andrew Wiggins to be the player of 2 years ago or the player of the last 2 years? How would you proceed forward if you were the GM with Andrew Wiggins?
Honestly, I'd want to get off of him. But
exactly,
the cat's out the bag. The rat's on the table.
According to ESPN's, what's his first name? McManaman? James? Dave McManaman, my bad. He's reporting on NBA Today that he expects the Lakers to take Bronny James, if he's available at 55.
Amazing.
And he spoke with Anthony Davis this morning and said he would be on board with it. That means McManaman talked to Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis said, yeah, whatever. Don't care.
Wow.
Who cares who we drafted 55? Ain't gonna play anyway.
You kind of converted me into that. Like, yeah, you weren't getting nothing out of him anyway, Goo.
Exactly.
But he'll be a Laker with his daddy.
So I'm looking at Bob Myers right now on the NBA draft show. No, not out in front of the building. My understanding is Myers said something yesterday where he said Paul George is not enough for the Warriors. Let me throw this at Spadoni if he's got that, if he could cue it up. Not for right now, but let me know if that sound is available and we could.
So he thinks they're far off, though, Stani. You know what I mean?
Well, I got to hear it, but that's kind of the way it was conveyed to me. You know, the one thing I wonder about is, you know, you see a guy like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
KCP.
And, yeah, he'd be a great fit on the Warriors. But he's a free agent now. He's an unrestricted free agent. So how can you get him? You can't. You just can't. Former. Way to go, Kay. I appreciate that, buddy. This is former Golden State Warriors GM and president of basketball operations, Bob Myers, on ESPN yesterday.
Bob.
Just talking Paul George and Warriors.
So you add Paul George to the Warriors, and you say, okay, that's a really good team. You almost need Klay Thompson as well. I mean, the West, with what Oklahoma City is doing, what Minnesota is doing, with Ant-Man, with SGA, all these guys, what Dallas just did, I do think we're sometimes missing things and trying to oversimplify. Oh, you add Paul George, you add Klay Thompson. It's still not enough, guys. You need to build a team to compete with what is a loaded West. And even getting through the West, now the Eastern Conference showed they had the best team in the NBA. It wasn't that close, really. It was a 4-1 series against Dallas. But the thing that's different about the West is the depth of the West. You could be a very good team in the West and be the ninth seed. We talked to just about Houston recently. Houston's trying to make the playoffs. We talked about Phoenix. We talk about the Clippers still wanting to be good. We talk about the Lakers still with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It's a deep conference. So just getting through it all, you need depth. And Klay and PG may give you a better shot. But at the same time, I don't think either of them just solves all the issues for any team.
Well, you know what? Finally, somebody said something to me that I really haven't heard, and that is the respect Myers has for Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and even Dallas to a certain extent.
Man.
And I hope, after we spent all year last year saying, well, the Warriors' pedigree will trump these young teams with no playoff experience. I mean, that's over, right? I mean, that is just flat out over.
I won't say, I'm not going there, but to be able to use that pedigree, you got to qualify for the tournament, right? So I get you on that. And
here's what I'm saying. I'm saying if the Golden State Warriors next year are playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, the fact that the Warriors have won four titles does not trump the fact that Minnesota is younger, and Minnesota got to the Western Conference Finals last year. And to me, there is no pedigree advantage. The resume is better on the Warriors, but the pedigree part to me is over.
Well, I'll tell you this. Not to me, Stoney. It's like the old boxer fighting the younger boxer. He's coming for him, but the older boxer still has the know-how and the history of what to do in big situations. And that's why this year hurt so much for me, is I know Minnesota, when it was all said and done, was a better team than the Warriors, but there's nothing like what Kirk talked about, Stoney, that series, being able to go, 48 hours and make an adjustment and come back. And the way the brand of basketball that the Warriors play on a good day, I think confuses a lot of teams. And that's why I was yearning to see them get in, but they didn't earn that. But when you say it means nothing, one season of not making the playoffs, and you're coming back, and you may add a caliber player like a Paul George, you still got Steve Kerr, and you're still running the same offense, like, you could tap back into it. Is that going to win you the series just by itself? No. But good God, Donnie, that doesn't just go away.
Well,
and that's why they won in 2022.
What about the fact that you went 0-4 against the Minnesota Timberwolves? Does that factor in?
I mean, hey, that's a bad matchup. But and then what was the record against the good teams?
5-21.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, that ain't a good one. But still, Stoney, it's what they used when they won it in 2022.
See, and
you know what I'm saying? They went to that bottle when they needed it, and
right,
something was in there.
But Steph was 33-34 at that point. Klay and Dre were 32-33 at that point. And we've seen 2 years take some game away from those three. Now, it hasn't taken a lot away from Steph, but it's taken some. It's taken more than a little away from Klay, and it's taken some away from Draymond Green. I'm not saying that the four titles don't mean anything, but that in and of itself,
if you're banking
can't
on
get
that
you
alone,
a cup of coffee. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to jump into the conversation. And we are outside Chase Center. Second round of the draft has begun.
We have no pick. They traded it.
Yeah,
I know you said it.
No, I mean,
kind of a
kid, who cares? Sorry, who cares? Nobody cares about the second round of the draft.
If I'm stealing you and Evan's bit when I was out.
Now here's when people go, but they Draymond Green. Okay. Well, one out of every 28 players.
If I could go to basketball heaven right now and drop a player on the Warriors, ask me who would be.
Well, should be Jokic.
No, the type of player I think they need.
Who?
Tyrese Halliburton. A guy like that can do more than just one thing. Man.
A point guard.
I don't just see him as a PG. He can do it. I just like him. That's what they need. A guy that can just, not a one-trick pony, you know?
Did you just see him on the TV?
I was thinking about another night.
Huh. Okay. Who's going to bring the ball up? Yeah, they're going to fight over it.
Pods.
And the Curry's playing three. 888-957-9570 is the number. Steiny and Guru at the Warriors team store in San Francisco. And we're having a heck of a time here today. Some other just stuff that's been happening. The Warriors have traded the 52nd pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder for... Oh, God. Lindy Waters the third.
There
Lindy
we go.
Waters the third.
Chris Paul the second.
By the way, decision time on Chris Paul
this
tomorrow.
Is, man.
Decision
or we could
time,
get something tonight.
We could, or we could get news tonight that they're pushing the deadline back. But the Warriors' deadline to decide on Chris Paul and his $30 million contract is tomorrow. And this is one of those things where the more I think about it, the more I think that they are going to exercise that option on Chris Paul and guarantee $30 million for him next year. But the only reason I say that is because if they waive him tomorrow and make him a free agent,
okay,
they lose an asset.
Then
they'll lose an asset without recouping any kind of flexibility or salary cap space. So the more I think of it, I could be wrong, but why wouldn't you guarantee Chris Paul's contract for next year and continue to try to look to use that money or use that spot for another addition, for a player addition?
It's almost like what they did when they whispered sweet nothings in Durant's ear and he kind of hooked them up, and they're able to get D'Lo turned into Wiggins. So I don't want to say the Warriors are batting 1,000, Stoney, but I expect them to be able to verbally talk to CP3 and, you know, let him know what time it is, and that happens.
Well, I mean, the first favor for the Warriors might be picking up his $30 million. I mean, if the Warriors waive him, he only gets $5 million.
But then you're hamstrung on including that if you wanted to do something.
Yeah, then he's not on your team anymore.
Oh, man.
Then he's just out there as a free agent. And I see him walking in with Raymond Ritter. He's going to join us momentarily.
He got a haircut, too.
What are we doing? We'll take him right away or no man's land? All right, we're going to take Trace Jackson Davis in the next minute. He's walking up with Raymond Ritter as Guru addresses his fans.
What
here
she said, Steiny and Guru,
at
she knew
City,
you.
Daryl the Guru Johnson just running game here left and right. And joining us right now is Trace Jackson Davis. Trace Jackson Davis entering his second year for the Golden State Warriors.
What's up now?
Became a starter in the second half of the season. And welcome, Trace.
Yes,
appreciate you joining us, man.
Thank you for
Trace with
me.
The fresh cut.
Absolutely.
Yes, I had to.
All right, I'll start there. How do you even know he got a haircut?
Because I bought him every day. He got a little shorter. You look sharp.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Yeah. All right. Here's where I want to start, because it's been about 2.5 months or 3 months since the end of your season. Like, what? Can you tell me your entire summer routine? Like, what have you been doing for the last 3 months? What are you going to be doing for the next month? When do you take any time off? How much of it is playing? How much of it is lifting? How much of it is all of it?
From the season end, we had about a week, two off. And then after that, me, BP, a couple of the younger guys, a couple of the vets, all in the gym periodically. Well, the younger guys are in the gym basically every day, but the vets come and go as they please. But, yeah, it's been just a grind, lifting Monday through Friday, working out, playing together, learning the system even more than we already do, and so I think it's been beneficial to us.
So you've had a week or two off right after the season, but you've been working out through, you know, the end of June. What's July hold for you?
July, we got Summer League coming up here soon.
And you'll be playing in that?
Yeah, we'll be playing in that. Me and BP will play a few games there, and then after that, a little bit of time off, and then we hit things full circle, so...
I got to give you credit on your rookie season, man. Not only did you stay ready, you took advantage of the opportunity. And I guess my question, Trace, would be, what was your biggest takeaway from year one in the league?
My biggest takeaway is just always staying ready. Just not knowing when your name is going to be called. Because I remember talking to some of the vets, like Loon, told me that you never know. He might just call your name out of nowhere. And that's what happened when we played Portland. And I started playing a little bit.
You remember. He said Portland.
Yeah, that was really the first game where I kind of asserted myself a little bit. And then after that, played a little bit, then kind of went through the ups and downs of the season. And then, but always stayed ready, always stayed the course. And by the end of the year, started a few games and just tried to help the team win.
Yeah, that's something I'm actually curious about. We're joined by Trace Jackson Anthony Davis, who will be entering his second year with the Warriors. The Warriors have had a great team. They've had a dynasty. And the young players who've come onto this team have had trouble playing because they got Hall of Famers in front of them. You're kind of the quintessential example of this. Here's what we hear a lot about young players. Man, if Trayce Jackson-Davis had been playing since the start of the year, he'd be better at this point. And then the other argument is, well, he might not have been ready to play at the start of the year. You basically started to emerge the second part of the year.
Yeah.
Like, how did it go from not playing to playing? And did you think, oh, I could have come in right away and played?
As a player, yes, I think that I could have came in right away and played, but at the same time, I knew that there were going to be growing pains. There was going to be stuff that I had to do first, wait for the vets and stuff like that. I know Coach Kerr's old school, and he even came up to me early in the year. He said, you're going to get a chance. You just got to take advantage of it, and that's what happened. And so he called my name and just went up from there.
Trayce, you probably don't remember this. We got the opportunity to chat with you right when you got drafted, and you talked about your background and how if you would have came out early, how COVID just basically threw a monkey wrench into the whole thing, and you might have got drafted higher. Is there any vindication that you have of your rookie season? Like, yeah, I went second round, but I shouldn't have went there, and I showed everybody what I could do.
Yeah, it just shows just the growth that I've had throughout the years. My freshman year, it was COVID. I had a really, really good freshman year in college. And then my sophomore year, COVID again. And then Mike Woodson came in, so I took a year with him. And then my third year is when I got COVID during the draft. And so came back for my fourth year and put everything together and had a really dominant fourth year. And I feel like the things that I did in college would have translated to the league. I know my knock on me was not having a jump shot, but being on a team with some of the greatest shooters ever to touch the court, you can rely on your athletic ability, being a lob threat, passing the ball, getting them shots in open space and stuff of that nature, which I excelled at in college.
You brought up Mike Woodson, and one of the things, and I just throw the line around too, when I talk about you, I say, well, he's a four-year player at Indiana. He played for Mike Woodson, who was a coach in the league, and I actually don't know, but I make it sound like playing for a guy like Woodson was an advantage and got you ready for this level. Is that even true? I mean, now that you've been in the league for a year, can you look back at Mike Woodson and say, you know what, he did do a better job of getting me prepared for the pros than maybe another coach would have?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the coverages that we had in our schemes, the plays that we ran are similar or the same that Golden State runs. And so already having those defensive coverages, knowing what some of the calls are, translated right away. And then just applying it on the floor, being in a new system, obviously they don't run the same exact system, but knowing the different tendencies that both the coaches use was huge.
So you got a nice frame, 6'9", and you're banging with the bigs. Have there been nights, Trayce, after the game you're driving home like, man, you know, me going up against them, I didn't see this in college. Walk us through that, and how do you work on that if you have to?
The crazy thing is I kind of was ready for it because in college, I mean, my freshman year, I played the four and guarded fours, but from my sophomore year on, I was banging with dudes that were 300, 330, 320 pounds. I mean, guys like Zach Edey, 7'4", 315 pounds, banging with him. So I was never not ready to bang with guys like that. I mean, obviously the skill level and being that big, like Joker and his frame, being able to do the stuff he does on the basketball court was a lot different. But from a standpoint of banging with guys and being able to hold my own, I felt like I did a pretty good job.
Trayce Jackson-Davis joining us on 95.7 The Game. Warrior center, rookie last year, going to enter his second year this upcoming year. And what's the number one thing you're working on this summer? What's your highest priority in terms of improving your game?
I think the biggest thing that I'm working on this summer is just being more versatile, attacking more, being more offensive-minded, but at the same time, on the defensive end of the floor, being able to guard 1 through 5, being able to switch and help my guys out in that way, and then just continuing to do the things that I already do well and just keep working on those.
I mean, let me follow up on that real quick, because this past year, I don't remember you guarding a lot of 1 through 5. I might be mistaken, but now I'm looking back at the Warriors when they were in their, you know, heyday, and one thing Kevon Looney was very good at was keeping guards in front of him, even though he was 6'9". Is that something you think you can excel at?
I think so. I think just with my length and athleticism, it's more about footwork and timing and just knowing where to be on the court, and that's something that I've been working on with the coaches, or I would say skill guys, throughout the summer.
Trace, I'm a family guy, so I asked my son, I told him we were having you on. I said, what do you want me to ask Trace? He said, ask him where he keeps it, and that's what I'm going to do. Where do you keep it, Trace?
What am I keeping?
The poster on Wimby. The poster right. I mean, come on, man. That had to be one of the greatest dunks of your young career.
It was definitely up there. It's crazy because people still send it to me. I act like I haven't seen it before, but it is what it is. It was a good play, and he got me back. It was crazy, but I told him if I had the chance to, I was going to try him. I told Loon that, and that's what happens.
Wow. Was there any moment in your rookie year where you went from, wow, you know, I got like, did you go from just playing the game at that level to, well, now I'm playing to win a game. I'm actually playing how to help us win. Was there a moment where you stopped worrying about your own game and started thinking about what can I best do to make our team better?
I think that's just how I've always played. And I think that's something that I learned in my junior and senior year with Mike Woodson, especially my senior year, just trying to be able to help do whatever it takes to help my team win, whether it be rebound, blocking shots, passing to open guys, anything that I can do to help the team win. I feel like coming in this year, not knowing the certainty and then kind of establishing myself, I feel like against the Trailblazers and then we played Boston the next game, was really just being a plus guy on the team and just doing whatever I could to help.
Trace, I'll tell anybody that'll listen, it was hell from a fan perspective of not having you guys in the playoffs. Did you follow the offs, and how did you feel knowing, you know what, we played those teams, we faced them? Was that a bitter pill to swallow knowing that you had some other stuff go on and you guys didn't make it?
Yeah, obviously that's the number one goal, and then with what Coach Kerr always said to us was, with the guys we have on the team, they've been here before, they've done it before, so just relying on them, and so just all we had to do was get in. Obviously we fell short by one game, but at the end of the day, we have a squad, and we ended the year. Raymond was signed like 27-10, 27-12.
Yeah,
and
so, he told us.
So we definitely have the pieces, and we had them this year. We just had to connect the dots, and we kind of got to it too late. And so just coming back next year full force and being ready to go.
So Raymond's always got some real positive numbers, and what, 27-10 over the last 37? 27-12. Unfortunately, I've got a set of numbers. You guys were 5-21 against the best teams in the Western Conference. How far away do you think you are from Minnesota, from Dallas, and from Denver?
I honestly don't think that we're that far, and I think that a lot of those games were close or down the wire. It wasn't in the sense that we were getting beat by 20, 30. I mean, Boston was an outlier where we lost by a lot, but Minnesota, Denver, a few of those games were 4 or 5 points differential, and a lot of them we had the lead at the end or going through the game. I remember when we played them at home, we were up by 17-18 in the fourth quarter, and we let that one slip away with Joker hitting a 40-footer. So those are just things that we got to do, and we got to clean up during the game, and we got to take it one possession at a time. But I feel like we're right there with those teams.
I want to ask you about your teammate, Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. What is it like policing the paint? Because I think he's one of a kind.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I call him the junkyard dog, but just the stuff that he uses and the emotion, you know, to play defense and cause havoc out there. What have you learned from him?
Oh, I feed off his energy. He helps me out on the court. He talks to me. He tells me what he wants me to do on the defensive end of the floor. And obviously being a rookie and him having him as a guide is huge. All the vets, him and Looney, honestly, both were huge helps to me. But Draymond just being on the court at the same time with him, terrorizing offensive players, is great.
Klay Thompson, obviously you played with him 1 year, and there's some uncertainty about Klay Thompson. What kind of a teammate was he to you? What's your relationship with him? And I mean, I know your dad played in the NBA, but there's a business aspect that I'm sure you're aware of. But Klay Thompson, how was he last year, and how'd you get along with him, and did he help you adjust?
He was great. I feel like me and him built a great synergy on the court. We played really well together. But at the same time, it is a business. But I loved having Clay as a teammate, and I'm eager to see what he decides, because obviously we want him here. I think everyone in the Bay wants him here. He's a Golden State Warrior, so hopefully we can get that worked out. But at the same time, it's a business, and he's going to do what's best for him.
That is true. I actually didn't put two and two together that you and he did have mm-hmm. some connection on the court. Like, when did that start to form, and then when did it manifest itself actually in games?
Well, yeah, I don't think people understand just how good he is, and mm-hmm. the reason why I'm getting wide open dunks is because they're putting two on the ball almost every time, because if he gets just a little bit of space, he's going to hit an open shot, and so a lot of the dunks that I had were because of him. And so, yeah, obviously you like playing with him just because of that. You get easy dunks, or he's going to get a wide open shot. So,
what I mean, like, what's the next step for you? Like, you just said you're running a pick and roll with Klay Thompson. He's going to have two bodies on him. Is the next thing for you to establish yourself so that you get guarded? Like, maybe not like that, mm-hmm. but get paid. You want to get paid more attention at that end of the floor.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think just being a rookie, it was kind of some uncertainty throughout the year, and I think this year they're going to have different types of game plans to try to stop me. Whenever they do put two on the ball, maybe guys help over, but that's when you use your IQ and you pass to the open guy and make the right play.
When you assess your game, I know my partner asked you about your checklist of what you're working on, mm-hmm. but like a 15 to 20 footer, is that something that you want to add to the repertoire?
Absolutely. Everyone in the NBA can shoot. I think I would use it more of a sense of just being able to take guys off the dribble, just keeping them honest, maybe a pump fake or make a shot and then pump fake and go around someone and then make the right play. So, but having that in the arsenal is definitely something that I want.
Well, I'm looking right now. Did you take? You haven't taken a three yet, have you?
I took one this year.
Let me see.
I almost hit it. It was a buzzer beater against Orlando.
Oh, you still on your per game averages though? It still says 0.0. Yeah,
it was close. It should have. So, I thought I hit it. Honestly,
I mean, if you're working on your shot, do you work on your 3-point shot, or do you gradually get there after you're start knocking down the 16 footer and then the 20 footer?
Both. Mostly on our team, the mid range shot is really just, it's something that we say that you have to make 25 million or more to be able to shoot that shot. So it's mostly just the three, because 2-point shot's the least successful shot in basketball.
So. Oh, 25 million salary, yeah. Not 25 million shots.
Nah, yeah, 25 million salary.
Okay,
so you
got
to be a top dog to shoot.
Gotcha. So you've got another 3 or 4 years.
Exactly.
Before you can start.
So you go from not being in the rotation, then you end up along with your partner, your the other rookie pods,
yep.
to make the all rookie team. Talk about that and the pride that just went into, like, damn, it paid off staying ready.
No, it did. It did pay off staying ready, and just watching him succeed has been great. Just being right there, starting at 57th and then ending 11th best. Obviously, it's great. It shows the work that I put in, but there's still more work to be done. So, and I think BP is the same way. He's hungry, and we're both hungry and ready to start our sophomore seasons.
Well, listen, man, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Good luck to you. Keep working hard.
Thanks.
And best of luck to you, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Trace Jackson Davis entering his second year with the Golden State Warriors. Yep. And coming off a nice rookie season, no doubt about it. Got more and more playing time as the season went on. And by the end of the year, he was embedded in the rotation and sometimes a starter, Goo. But Trace Jackson Davis.
Can you talk about your career, Franklin and Marshall, and the memories? Like, he remembers the three to extend, against Orlando, Evan. It almost went in. Like, that's amazing, man.
You know, it's funny. It's like sometimes you talk to a guy or you think about a player in a different way, and I don't know why. Maybe I'm sure some listeners would be like, well, probably because you're an idiot, Stein. But no, I'm looking at Trace Jackson Davis, and he may be, you know, everybody, oh, he's a rim protector. That's great. But what he may be able to do is keep perimeter guys in front of him, because he does have some lateral quickness and like, now you start thinking, well, maybe that's where he could really make an imprint of a player who, when he gets switched out on guards, you're not at a disadvantage.
But Stoney also, too, I believed him. He said he, for the pounding, he was ready for it. And he didn't seem overwhelmed with, you know, bigger guys, you know, taking it to him. He had some junk in the trunk, and we saw it on display. But for him to say he kind of was ready for it, it played out that way.
Oh, the 415 wanted us to ask him about the dunk on Wembanyama, and
we did.
And you did. Oh. No, and you did.
Okay. Now, little Daryl wanted to ask.
Help me on this one. I didn't want to say it in front of him because he seems like a good kid, and he's young, but that dunk, he kind of threw it there.
So did Blake Griffin years ago when he went up and did the... So, it's called a throwdown, Scotty.
But clearly,
throw it down,
when
big
you,
fella.
When you that's dunk and your hand makes contact with the rim and maybe you hang on, it just could have been a little nicer, right?
He got Wemby, though. He said Wemby got him back.
I'm trying to remember when Wemby got him back. Was it in the game or was it in a different game?
It was in a different game.
I'm different than you. I don't really keep track of dunks as much as you. I kind of treat a dunk as 2 points.
But, it is.
There we go. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Trace Jackson Davis just joined us, and Kirk Lacob, the Golden State Warriors Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations and Assistant General Manager. He joined us earlier in the day, and he absolutely positively said some things that I found interesting. Addressing the Klay Thompson situation, he allowed for every possibility. Yeah. And to me, when you allow for every possibility, it means that it's very real that Klay might not be on this team next year. And I don't know how everybody else is feeling about it, but I almost get the sense that most Warrior fans are starting to feel like he won't be back. Do you think that's accurate?
Totally. And it's why I told you, Evan, and the listeners, Donnie, that's the feeling I get in my gut, that he's not coming back. I hope I'm wrong, but it's like, Donnie, why wouldn't we be hearing something positive in regard to their close or things like that? This seems, you know, they're not even talking, and and I'll say this, I'm not a therapist or a psychiatrist, Donnie, but I really think Klay Thompson is the epitome of maybe just needing a fresh start.
Yeah, I would not necessarily disagree with that. And I think the biggest question is, does Klay think he's in need of a fresh start? The one thing that Kirk Lacob said that did register with me was, you know, just asking him. I asked him if the Klay Thompson decision is, you know, the most emotional decision maybe they've had to make since Joe Lacob bought the team. And I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have expected definitely. I mean, he's part of this dynasty, and we got to really, show him the respect. But
he may not know either, but you're right.
But the reality is that Kirk Lacob said, you know, a lot of these decisions, most of the decisions are emotional, involving these players because they've been here. And I just kind of read that a little bit like, this thing is not going to end with Klay Thompson being a Warrior. And then secondly, he made sure, I thought, to emphasize that, if anything gets done with Klay Thompson, that it's going to take both sides to agree to something. And I don't know, maybe I'm reading between the lines, but that to me sounded like at this point, Klay might not want to come back. Yeah. At least the Warriors at this point might not be his number one option.
Well, let me ask you this. If you were Klay, would you want to come back? Because I'm on record before you answer saying I wouldn't want to come back. I've been cut.
Yeah, I think a lot of it would depend on what I know right now that nobody else knows. And that would be, you know, what does Klay Thompson know about his market, if anything? You know, we just heard a report that Orlando is thinking about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Klay Thompson, that they might be willing to offer one of those guys a 2-year, $50 million contract. Well, if Orlando offers Klay Thompson 2 for $50, I don't think anybody would blame him for taking it at this point. Yeah. But if Klay Thompson is starting to read the tea leaves and he's starting to think, you know what, I may not get $20 million. I may only get 15 or so. You know, at that point, maybe he's more likely to do something that he didn't want to do in the first place.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So 888-957-9570 is the number, and the second round of the draft is underway. If you're a Golden State Warrior fan, I'll keep you up on a couple pieces of news. They've traded the number 52 pick in the draft for Lindy Waters III. He played for the Oklahoma City Thunder last year, but the Warriors have traded out of the second round and acquired a player instead. The first round was yesterday, and
how you like the two rounds? They should just got it done yesterday.
Huh? I don't know.
Well, we wouldn't be here today. So
I mean, the one thing that's just completely different is the NBA second round compared with the NFL second round.
Oh my God!
Can't even be compared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it just can't.
You know what you mean?
In fact, I don't think you can even compare the second round of the NBA draft with the seventh round of the NFL draft. There's probably more interest in the seventh round of the NFL draft.
Yeah. Trace hooked me up too, Stoney. He knew it too. He was 11th. I thought there was three NBA all rookie teams.
Oh yeah, he didn't make it.
Yeah, that's why he said 11th. But he hooked me up.
What do you mean 11th?
He was 11th guy. There was 10, and then he was the 11th. But
he was the 11th.
Yeah. So and he said it.
But you know what he also did? This is why he's a nice guy.
What did?
He brought a pod.
He did make the team.
No, he did. And I think he did that just to not make you feel better, but just to ease.
I brought pods up too, because I brought him up into quick. Both you guys met. Yeah, but he was 11th.
Yeah. All right. Coming up on the other side, we'll probably be doing the crossover with Willard and Dibs, or maybe we won't. We'll see. We're very fluid.
Yeah, let's go.
Look, we're fluid, and you guys, we need you to make an adjustment, because we're also making an adjustment. All right, what's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Our draft show is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners. Their people, process, and passion inspire them to holistically serve their client families.
I used a word that didn't exist the last time I was on with you.
Okay. Guru does that every day.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game. Wow.
Call 911, Evan. Wow. Your boy's been hit. And I heard that lie. That hurt me, Steiny.
Everything is in good fun.
Yeah.
We don't mind.
We're family.
Good-natured banter. We are at the Warriors team store in downtown San Francisco, adjacent to Chase Center. And we're here because it's NBA draft day. The Warriors, they've traded their pick. They had the number 52 pick. They will trade that to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Lindy Waters III. He's played 3 years in the NBA. And my question to Guru is, so you bought a shirt.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, the Warriors.
Oh. Let me take a look.
Yeah, their new logo.
I do like that logo.
Yeah.
It's their secondary logo.
And then on the back, the Golden State.
Yeah. I mean, I would wear that shirt if it were a white shirt.
I just don't. You're racist black against shirts.
No.
Why don't you like the
because
black shirt?
They're too hot in the summer. Hot in the summer.
But we got
they
winter and spring. And they make you look slim. Not that you
not
need
like
it.
This shirt.
Look at it.
Ooh,
hey,
yeah.
Real quick, you're bearing the lead. What did you shoot yesterday?
87.
Dude, you're on fire.
But it was.
Just leave it at that. Let it breathe.
It was a very good round. It was very windy. I played with four guys.
You knew all of them.
Oh, yeah. And a couple of them are better than me, but I shot better than them yesterday because the conditions were a little bit tricky. And, very happy with my game right now. But one of the things you learn about golf is that you never say you've got it figured out.
Well, your text read different on the thread last night. You said your boy's on a heater.
Well,
I'm paraphrasing. Hold on. What did he say?
Let's be honest.
Oh, boy, tomorrow's show will be great.
Let's be honest. I said.
you were feeling good.
I said, another hell of a round for your boy today.
Yeah.
Notice I said today. All bets could be off tomorrow. By the way, are you going to get the, you know how much the Curry jersey's going for? Game jersey? Like, $299. $299.
Well, yeah. That's kind of low.
It's low? $299.
How did you find that out?
Because it's we're at the team store.
No, but that
right outside Chase Center in Thrive City.
No, you went shopping is what I meant, because that's normally what they go for.
I don't usually shop at places like this. Yeah.
Can I read a tweet to you?
Yeah. There was also something that I got to ask you about. Go ahead.
This is from Laker Nation on Twitter, courtesy of @MC10. Just reported on NBA Today that he expects the Lakers to take Bronny, if he's available, which he'll be at 55, and get this, and that he spoke with Anthony Davis this morning, and he said he would be on board with it. Like, Anthony Davis would really say, no, don't draft Bron's son. This is just the circus that is the Lakers, man.
Everything is just gravy right now for the Los Angeles Lakers, because they're coming home with Dalton Connect, and nobody had that before the draft.
Do you really think he's got action to be an OK
Western
pro?
Look, all I know is the Western Conference has been put on notice.
Yeah. Tibbs let me know that Nekty was older than TJD was older than Nekty.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we call him Nekty.
TJD is 14 months older than Nekty.
Fossil.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be just like the rest of them.
Thank you,
Tibbs. Trace Jackson, I should have asked him, do you think you're on the decline like half the team?
Dude, he's a big boy, though, Stoney.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, he's a big boy for the average human.
On the court, there were days. I mean, Jokic
put him in the basket.
But other than that, he held his own.
Now that he's not
said,
sitting here.
You know what, Goo? Yeah. That was an astute observation. He didn't say it. I felt he was saying it. He said, I was ready for it. He's a banger.
Yeah. Was that the game Jokic had 40, 20, and 20? I can't remember. No, they have another shirt over there. Maybe Evan can help me with this one. It's got a Warriors logo, and then it has the Rolling Stones logo. Like
that's up your guys' alley. What? I don't know nothing about the Rolling Stones.
My question
Stones.
Would be, yeah. Why?
Yeah, I don't know about the Rolling Stones.
Let me guess, they played at Chase Center, and now there's some kind of partnership with Mick and the boys. That's just random. It's just a little bit weird. But those run $49.99 if you're anxious to get down here to the Warriors.
There's a lot of first gear in here, man.
Team store.
They call it swag now.
I thought you were going to make a joke about the Rolling Stones and the Warriors being the same age.
I don't like that joke.
No, it's a four. It's a four. I mean, you could make the case that,
Curry and Mick.
I was going to say, you know, Curry and what's his name? The one who's even worse than Mick. Who's the guy? Keith Richards. I couldn't think of him.
Tell him, Priest.
The Rolling Stones will be a boneyard, according to Priest. So that's just fun today, Goo.
Yeah, and the biggest takeaway is my partner was on board. Possibly, if the Warriors had a chance to draft Bronny, you would have been okay with it.
Well, why not?
You're more closer to the internet than you think. Because that's what you, like, that shocked me coming from you.
Why?
Because you would be doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Well, I wouldn't be doing
the
it at all.
The attention, the clicks.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I mean,
I ain't hating
I'm the kind
kids,
of guy.
Donnie, he ain't ready, man.
Dude, I would love to. The Warriors, in the middle of their run, gotten J.R. Smith.
Who's still a baller.
I mean, give me any of those guys.
Yeah.
Goo, it's not about, when a dynasty's over, it's not about winning and losing anymore. It's about action. You got action.
Yeah, and they didn't have it. That's why everybody's mad that they didn't make the playoffs, because they're better than not making the playoffs.
That's
if they were just out of gas, it's cool. You got Steph and Dre. Come on.
Oof. That's why you draft Bronny James.
I don't think he's 6'1". I ain't going to hate on the kid.
Well, his growth spurt has not occurred yet.
You've seen his younger son, Bryce? That's the one. Bryce James. You ain't seen a highlight, huh?
I'll tell you what. Why don't you, Mike Dunleavy's right across the hall, and it is draft night. Go tell me what a scout for the Warriors, because you seem to have it all.
No, I'm just telling you, Bronny is, there's only one king.
Oh, man. God, if Bronny is any good, if he is any good, we're going to have a lot of fun with his career. Let's see. What else do we got here? Kirk Lacob earlier today said, look, we're still building around Steph Curry. And Steph's our best player, and
I like that.
I mean, he didn't say it, but it does feel like you're going to ride Steph till the wheels come off.
And there you go.
So we'll see. Yeah, The one part the Warriors, whether Steph's here, whether he gets traded tomorrow, whether he plays six more years, the challenge still with Steph Curry is going to be how they adjust to him and how he adjusts to them as his role declines.
And would you,
any superstar in any league,
you being the hoop savant that you are, you do understand it's easier for him to make the adjustment they make to him when he has other talent around him. It makes it easier.
Right.
Okay. But and that's why I think what's going on now is that's not, they don't have an abundance of that.
But at what point do you say, geez,
we
have to put so much around him that it's unrealistic?
I'll let you know when we get there, and he'll let you know.
No, he won't.
Yeah. He ain't there yet, Stoney. What, 18 holes? Curry's probably on the 11th hole of his career.
Okay, he's going to play till he's 44. And that's the kind of...
Kirk said it!
And that's the kind of thinking that will ensure that the Warriors will take a long time to get
Lake
back.
What about Lake of Bragging? Somebody beat me. That hurt.
Well, it should hurt, because you ought to be ashamed. You're 6'4", he's 6'1", okay? I mean, guard the guy!
It's a team game.
Guard him!
Wow.
All right. Coming up on the other side, Willard and Dibs. It is the crossover on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.